You're listening to a message from Pastor Femi Ibitoye, continuing our series, Acts Part 2. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message at eastbrook.org/sermons.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are with us. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy to receive all the glory, honor, power, and majesty. You are worthy because you died for us. And with your blood, you purchased people for yourself from every tribe, language, tongue, and nation. Holy Spirit, thank you for bearing witness and confirming to us that we are God's children. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing love for us. We give you all the glory and honor. Please be with us as I open the word of God to your people. We appreciate and celebrate you this morning. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. Amen. So today we'll continue our sermon series, Ordinary People in God's Extraordinary Work. And today's topic is Philip, moved by the Spirit. See, God the Holy Spirit is moving. And he is working. He's working when we don't see it. Remember that song? He's the way maker. He's the miracle walker. The promise keeper. Light in the darkness. Ever moving, ever working. Ever moving, ever working to change hearts back to the Father, to reconcile us back to the Father. And he does great things through his disciples, people like you and me, ordinary people like you and me. And we've been seeing that as we looked at the book of Acts, what the Holy Spirit has been doing, starting with the day of Pentecost. When the fire and power came down. And it says that the disciples were speaking in tongues and languages from people who were in Jerusalem, from every nation under heaven. They heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were doing what? They were praising God. Praising God. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's working in people's lives, changing them so that they can worship our triune God and love him forever. And I'm thinking to myself that the Acts of the Apostles can actually be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one moving and changing lives and working miracles. Amen? Amen. 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 So today we're going to be talking about Philip. Who is Philip? Philip was one of the seven. And he was a companion of Stephen that we looked at last week. They were two of the seven that God used powerfully to serve the widows. And in Jerusalem. But they did not, as you can see, they did not only serve the widows, but they shared the word of God with power. They shared that Jesus Christ can save people who are bound down in sin and darkness. Jesus can change lives. So Philip was one of the seven. Philip was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And the Lord of hosts works miracles in his life and used him in the town of Samaria. So when the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, does his work in our lives or does it anywhere, Christ is magnified. Jesus is magnified. So when we hear, you hear the Holy Spirit working, you see people saying signs and wonders are happening. One way to know if this is really from God is that, is Christ magnified? Is Christ exalted in all these miracles that we're talking about? Jesus Christ should be magnified and he should be exalted. Listen as I read from Acts 8, 4 to 8. You may follow along with your Bible. And if you are using the ones under the seat, it will be in page 942. Acts 8, 4 to 8 says this. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Amen? Amen. 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 So some points I want us to take note of. Philip proclaimed the Messiah. Philip proclaimed the Messiah. When Philip proclaimed the Messiah through the power of the Holy Spirit, extraordinary things happened. People were set free from the bondage of darkness. People were healed, and Christ was proclaimed. Verse 6 says this, the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed. They heard about Jesus Christ. They heard that Jesus saves. They heard that Jesus heals. They heard that Jesus forgives and Jesus sets free. And then they believed. They heard the sermon that Philip gave and they put their trust in Jesus and believed. Second, people experience healing from physical and emotional sickness when Jesus was proclaimed. Verse 7 says this, for with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Jesus sets free. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is the one that is exalted. He forgives of our sins and heals our diseases. Reminds me of Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, where it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. And what are those benefits? He forgives us of our sins and heals us of our diseases. Praise God. We just sang the song earlier today. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Third, when Christ is proclaimed, the good news brings joy to those who believe. Jesus Christ brings us joy when we believe in him. When we believe in him. There were people in Samaria who were bound down. There were people who had no joy, no peace. They were still bound down in their sins. But oh, when they heard the gospel brought by Philip, lives were changed, people were healed, and joy came to the city of Samaria, joy that they had never experienced before. So what about you? Are you here today? No joy, no peace, darkness, no light. But when the Lord of hosts, our Savior, comes into our situation, he brings joy and peace and hope. Sins are forgiven and bondages are broken. There is truly power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. So if you're here tonight, or this morning, I should say, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your family, and maybe you and your city, like it happened to them in Samaria. Amen? Amen. Listen as I read. Continue reading from Acts 8. I'll be reading verses 9 to 13. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Before I move on with Simon the sorcerer, I just want to make a difference between sorcery in science fiction and sorcery that we're reading here in the Bible and in real life. A sorcery master that you will know, people who follow the Marvel comics, is Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is considered a hero because he sacrificed himself to save others. This is not the sorcery we're talking about here. Sorcery in real life has its origins from the evil one. And children of God like you and me should not be found messing around with sorcery. The Bible talks about this in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. When you enter the land your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who practices, who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, or engages in witchcraft. With that in mind, let's go back to Simon the sorcerer. In contrast to Philip, Simon the sorcerer proclaimed himself. Remember, Philip proclaimed Jesus. Simon proclaimed himself. Simon practiced acts of darkness instead of the light. Simon was a boastful man who proclaimed himself instead of the Messiah. Simon led people astray for a little while with his sorcery. Verse 9 states that Simon boasted that he was someone great. The problem with Simon is that even with all of his signs that he was doing, he could not forgive sins. People were still in bondage, chains, chained down to darkness. He could not heal. But when Philip came and preached the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, people were set free. People received a clean heart. All the chains of the guilt of sin that they'd been carrying around laid down at the feet of the cross. Jesus Christ has worked his miracle in their lives, something that Simon could not do. No wonder people followed Philip and believed the gospel message. God confirmed the message of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, with signs and wonders. The gospel can open our eyes. Held by people, held by evil. The gospel opened my eyes. I've sent it for the pulpit before. I'll say it again. The hymn, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But now I see. Praise God for his salvation. Praise God that he opens our eyes to see that we're no longer held in bondage. Oh, come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what the Lord has done. He has set us free from darkness. He has given us new life. He has given us the privilege to be called God's children, and that is who we are. Salvation is free. Can you imagine if you had to pay for salvation? How much will the poor pay? How then can the powerless be saved? But praise God, it is free. And whoever believes is what the Bible says. Anywhere across the continent, all over the world, on planet Earth, or anywhere else in the universe, anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And that salvation happens by the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit. And he uses ordinary people like you and me to preach the gospel like he used Philip. So are you here today? You think you are ordinary. You are thinking, can God use me? You're a student, young student, and maybe an old student. The answer to all of that is yes. God can use you to do his extraordinary work. Take Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was ordinary, but God used her. When the Holy Spirit did his amazing work in her life, and she became the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, we know, saved the whole world. An ordinary person used to do the extraordinary work of God. Amen? Amen. Well, God is not done with Philip yet. God will send him on the road going to Gaza. But before I go on to what happened there, notice somewhere here, something here. Philip had a thriving ministry going on. People were being saved, being set free, people believing. But God pulled him away from all that and asked him to go to Gaza. God can call us from something that you might be calling successful ministry. Because there was a foreigner. There was someone that needed to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will send Philip to him. And they will meet. You can read this later in Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. Because of time, I won't be able to read that. But I will do summarize it. Philip was obedient to the Spirit when he was asked to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. And basically, my summary there is Philip responded to the Spirit's divine interruption. So the Holy Spirit may interrupt you from what you are doing that is good, that is fruitful, and send you to do something else. So let's keep our eyes open. Let's keep our hearts open. If God is calling us, if he interrupts us to do something else, away from something that is very fruitful. Anyway, Philip went and he met this Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, but he did not understand it. He did not understand it. What the Ethiopian eunuch did not know was that God was preparing someone to come and help him. The Lord will help you in Jesus' name. The Lord will help you. Are you searching for God this morning? Are you exploring the Christian faith? God sees you. God hears you. And God will help you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Holy Spirit told Philip to draw near to the chariot that the Ethiopian eunuch was in, and then asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I understand unless someone tells me?" So Philip understood scriptures and was able to proclaim the Messiah to the eunuch. He started where the Ethiopian eunuch was, Isaiah 53. And he made him understand that Isaiah 53 was talking about the Messiah, was talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. That is the message that he heard. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed and was baptized. You see, the good news is for all eunuchs and for anyone, anywhere, and everywhere. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Amen? Amen. Amen. So you see, the Holy Spirit can move in any way he wants. He moves in power to anyone who will respond to him. The Holy Spirit can use you, ordinary person, to do extraordinary work. Use you to proclaim Christ and change lives. Lives held down in bondage. Lives where they've been held down by the lies of the evil one. But the truth of the gospel, they hear it and they are changed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was curious, so I wanted to find out what happened to Philip after all this. Actually, in verse 40, the Holy Spirit takes him to Azotus, and then he keeps preaching until he lands in Caesarea. And he stayed there. And actually got married, had children, 4 daughters who prophesied. I pray that our children too will prophesy in Jesus' name. Prophecy means proclaiming the word of God. I pray that our children would do that too. That's a good thing to do. Proclaim the word of God. And not only that, he was an evangelist, but apparently he also had the gift of hospitality. In Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, it talks about Paul the apostle and his companions. They actually stopped by. They stopped by Philip in his house. And Paul's companion, I was reading the chapter before, Acts chapter 20, I counted at least 7 people, not including Luke, and then with Paul, 8, 9 people, maybe more, spent time with Philip. Philip, even though he was in Caesarea, God was still using him to care for ministers of God or anyone who will come by them. And that is actually my point. The extraordinary work of God may not look flashy. You know, he moves one from here to the other place or heals. It might be what you are doing right now. You're opening your homes right now to visitors, to foreigners. You are proclaiming Jesus Christ in your ordinary way. And you are loving on the unlovable. But time will show that you are actually doing the extraordinary work by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are proclaiming God. That is amazing. I mean, what can be more extraordinary than having lives changed? Someone held down by darkness, but now is called a child of God. Someone held down by the guilt of their sins and now are set free because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ that you shared with them. That is amazing. That is amazing. Amen. And now I want to share four things as we wrap up here. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking God? You want to know him? God will meet you. God will meet you. I just quoted John 3:16. If you give your life to Christ, you will be saved. Salvation is free. It is free. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is free. The gift of the Holy Spirit is free. So come to Jesus and you will be saved. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you are a disciple here, a new disciple, Christ-centered disciple, growing disciple, all of us need to thank God for the Holy Spirit. And we need to thank him for the work he's done. First, by saving us, we cannot thank him enough for that. But thank him for what he's doing. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ so we'll be more like him. He confirms every day that we are children of God and that is who we are. What a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Study the Bible. As a disciple, that's the only way that you can know God better. And when you meet your Ethiopian eunuch, you will know what to say. You will be able to present clearly the gospel message. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. Be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants to do extraordinary work in you and through you. Proclaim Jesus. Make him known. Make him known. Amen? Amen. Before we pray, I invite the worship team. I invite the worship choir, Adonai singers, and the orchestra to return and join us. As I conclude the message right now, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and the amazing work that he does. He did it in the life of Philip and he's doing it in our lives. We thank you. Lord, I pray for those who are seeking you. Lord, I pray they will find you in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to be faithful disciples who proclaim you. Help us to read the word. Help us to be thankful people. Do your work in us, Father. Help us to speak the name of Jesus everywhere we go. For in Jesus' name, there is power. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is life in his name. I pray that you will break every stronghold in Jesus' name. Give us the boldness to share your name anywhere with others. We appreciate you, God. There is no one like you. Glorious in holiness, doing wonders. Jesus, you have the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Pastor Femi Ibitoye. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information, please visit eastbrook.org.